Well, this morning, the title of the message is, What Will You Do with Jesus? And we just want to pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on this message. It's very important. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the worship, for the word that we have heard already. Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts to receive all that you have for us this morning, that each word you have for us may find its place in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that we may live by these words, by your teachings, Lord, that we would hunger and thirst for you. Lord, no matter how long we have been in church, that we would hunger and thirst for more and more of you and just continually seek you, Lord. And Lord, that the question, what will you do with Jesus, would always be in our minds, Lord, causing us to seek more and more of you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. So this morning, as we said, the title of the message is, What Will You Do With Jesus? As we begin the new year, I would like to discuss this question. It is of utmost importance. Where is Jesus in my order of priorities, or in my order of values in my life? Who or what is most important and meaningful in my life? Are Jesus and adherence to his teachings, his doctrine, included in my goals? How much time do I give to the Lord each day in his word, in prayer, in worship? How do I see and hear things in life? Do I see and hear as Jesus would? So important. How do we interpret things that we see and hear? We have to see and interpret as the Lord would, not with judgment, but as the Lord would want us to see and hear. What value do I place on going deeper with the Lord? We can always go deeper with the Lord. There is no end to that. The depth of the amount of the Lord that we could have in our lives is fathomless. Will you seriously and sincerely seek more of Jesus in your life in 2022? Will you allow yourself to drift and stray from Jesus in 2022? If you have drifted or strayed from the Lord, will you make a decision to return to him? Where are our lives headed this morning? If Jesus were to come for me tonight, what could I say that I have done for him? We may have been in church many years, but these questions still need to be answered. Life is composed of choices. Accepting the Lord into one's life, how much of him you accept, or how deep you will go with him is all a choice. Those are all choices that we have to make. This morning, we have a choice to make. What will you do with Jesus in the coming year, in 2022? In the Bible, we have a prominent example of a response to this question of what will you do with Jesus. And if you could turn with me to John chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 28 to 38. John chapter 18. And verses 28 to 38. Verse 28 of John chapter 18. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium, so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." To fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this of your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Jesus answered, "I am not a Jew." Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" So the Jews did not want to enter into the judgment hall, known as the Praetorium, as we have read. The Praetorium was the judgment hall. The Jews did not want to enter the judgment hall for fear of defiling themselves. But they were putting the Son of God to death. What was their brand of religion? They did not want to enter the judgment hall for fear of defiling themselves, but they were putting the Son of God to death. In verse 36, Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Romans were very superstitious and believed that gods could appear in human form and would occasionally visit men. Pilate had God in front of him, the one true God. From his questioning, it becomes obvious that Pilate recognized and knew that something was very different about this prisoner. He watched Jesus' composure, listened to his answers. Jesus was very composed before Pilate. Pilate had seen many prisoners and had put many to death, but this one was very different from all the rest. And in verse 37, Pilate asks, "Are you a king? You said your kingdom is not of this world. Are you a god?" Remember that the Romans were very superstitious. They believed that gods came in the flesh to visit. Pilate had the real God in front of him. If he only recognized that. So Pilate asked, "Are you a king?" And Jesus responded, "For this cause I came into the world." Jesus let Pilate know that he came from another world. From these answers, Pilate should have known that there was something godlike and supernatural about Jesus, especially knowing that Romans were superstitious as they were in this regard. As a judge of prisoners in violent and bloody world in which he was living, Pilate did not know what truth was. He did not know that he was speaking with the embodiment of truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in verse 38, importantly, Pilate said, I find no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. This is the first of three times that Pilate states that he knew Jesus was innocent. Let's turn to John chapter 19, and we'll begin at verse 1, a continuing of the trial of Jesus. John chapter 19, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews, and to give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Jesus then came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Eternal words, behold the man. So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify, crucify. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, Behold your king. So they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. So they handed him over to them to be crucified. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, but he still had him crucified. This is the second time, as we read in verse 4, that Pilate admits that he knew Jesus was innocent. And if you read Matthew chapter 27, verse 19, Pilate's wife, Claudia, had a dream. And she told Pilate, have nothing to do with that righteous man. Again, another indication that Jesus was innocent, coming right from Pilate's wife. Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night, I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. Yet Pilate still had Jesus crucified. The third time, Pilate informs us that he knew that Jesus was innocent. This comes in verse 6. Pilate informs us that he knew Jesus was innocent. And we jump to verse 8. After hearing the accusation that Jesus made himself the Son of God, he, Pilate, was even more afraid. We find this out in verse 8. Pilate was more afraid after hearing that accusation. In the original Greek translation, it says that Pilate was exceedingly afraid. Yet he still had Jesus crucified. Remember that Pilate was Roman, and Romans believed that God could appear as human. He did not know that he had the reality of this belief in front of him. Pilate was afraid that he might be casting judgment on the God. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He had the power to free Jesus, and he admitted. And then Pilate asked Jesus in verse 9, "Where are you from?" From this question, you can see that Pilate was wondering that Jesus might be a God. All this going through Jesus' mind, through Pilate's mind, and Pilate fearing that he might be judging a God, and yet he still had Jesus crucified. He still made the wrong decision. Pilate did not have to make the decision to crucify Jesus, because he admitted to Jesus, "I have the power to crucify you, or I have the power to release you." He could have released Jesus. And in verses 10 and 11, Pilate said, "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you?" Pilate did not have power over Jesus. The only power he had was that which he was allowed to have and given to him by the Lord. But the power was given to Pilate to release Jesus. Pilate had to make a decision. Shall I release this man or shall I crucify him? And reading this account of Jesus before Pilate, we learn something very interesting in the spiritual realm, that before God, Pilate was on trial. Before God, Pilate was on trial, not Jesus. In making this statement, "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you?" Pilate made himself responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. He said outright, "I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you." He made himself responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. Pilate condemned himself before God with that one statement. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent and must have been thinking that this man could be a God appearing in the flesh. Remember that Jesus said, "You could not have power except it be given you from above." And yet, Pilate still delivered Jesus to be crucified. The Jews, in verse 12, you can see, because the Jews told Pilate, "If you release this man, you're not a friend of Caesar." The Jews struck at Pilate's weak point, which was loyalty to Caesar. Even though the Jews hated Caesar, they hated the Roman domination. And yet they come up with this statement, they throw this statement at Pilate, "If you release this man, you are not a friend of Caesar." And they struck at Pilate's weak point. And Pilate made the wrong choice. What did he do with Jesus? He allowed him to be crucified, even fearing that this might be a God in front of him. Pilate had many prisoners in front of him. He judged many prisoners. He knew something was different. Pilate was a good judge of character. He knew something was very different about this man, those before him. And through his superstition, he knew that it could have been a God before him. And yet, he delivered Jesus to be crucified. What a wrong decision he made, knowing that he had the power to release Jesus. With all his fears, knowing that Jesus was an innocent man and fearing that he was putting a God to death, he still had Jesus crucified. He still made the wrong decision. His loyalty to Caesar and his position meant more to him than freeing Jesus, even though he knew that Jesus was innocent and knew that Jesus might be a God. He still put his loyalty to Caesar and his position before all this. Pilate's priorities were all wrong. Now consider this. Pilate was in power as governor of Judea from about 26 to 36 AD. Now we know the trial of Jesus occurred at 33 AD. This tells us that Pilate's position as governor only lasted about 3 years after Jesus' trial. So all this want of power and delivering an innocent man to be crucified and knowing that he was possibly a god, Pilate only lasted another 3 years as governor after that. Even though Pilate's priorities were on his position, he lost it only 3 years later. He could have been known as the governor who freed the Son of God from false accusations and from the most horrible death. Pilate tried to appease his conscience by washing his hands and saying that he was innocent of the blood of this just man. We read that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. But he could not free himself from the guilt of allowing Jesus, who he knew was innocent, to be crucified. It is believed that Pilate eventually lost his mind in continually washing his hands because he knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that Jesus might be a God. And yet he had him crucified and he could not get this off his mind. That's why Pilate kept washing his hands. In answering the question, what will you do with Jesus? Pilate made a terrible mistake. He chose power and position rather than Jesus in his life. And how many people do that today? They choose power and position in their life rather than Jesus. Power and position cannot buy you eternal life. Only Jesus could. While we would not have Jesus delivered to be crucified, we still need to answer the question, what will we do with Jesus? Now, this isn't a question for new Christians only. This is a question for everyday Christians. This is a question for people who have been serving the Lord for years, because we could always go deeper with the Lord. What will we do with Jesus? How much of him will we make our lives? How much of him will we have in our lives? We only get as much of Jesus as we want. If you only want a little bit, that's all you're going to get of him. But if you want a lot, you will receive a lot of Jesus. And let's face it, if a person that gets to know Jesus really gets to know him, who he is, and what he means in our lives, you will want more and more of him. But are we at that point this morning where we genuinely want more and more of him? What will we do with Jesus this morning? Will we continually seek more and more of him in our lives? Will we go deeper with him in 2022? Will we allow ourselves to drift away from him in 2022? You said, no, I won't allow myself to drift away from the Lord. It's a very subtle thing. We drift slowly away from the Lord. And Satan works like that. We don't realize we're drifting from the Lord. But we have to not allow that to occur. Be on our guard to not allow that to occur. Will we be committed to Jesus? Will we be committed to him as was the Hebrew slave to his master? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, we said that we would serve him all the days of our lives. But are we genuinely committed to Jesus that we will serve him in every way all the days of our lives? Are we serving the Lord the way we should be serving him, or the way he deserves to be served? With regard to the Hebrew slave, the ear piercing meant that the servant could not be bought by another master. And when the person is genuinely committed and dedicated to Christ and has experienced the reality of who Jesus is, he will not want any other master. Are we genuinely committed to Jesus and dedicated to him this morning? Or are we distracted by worldly, temporal values in life? Where are our priorities this morning? This morning, we need to ask ourselves, what will you do with Jesus in 2022? Will you seek more of Jesus in your life and decide to go much deeper with him, much deeper? Or will you allow yourself to drift away from him? Jesus tells us, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep means to go deep into the acceptance, into the study and understanding and revelation of Jesus. Go deeper in your commitment to him. There is an infinite understanding and revelation of Jesus waiting for us. And if you feel that you have gone into the deep, there is always deeper water to enter with Jesus. There is always a new depth of the knowledge and revelation of Jesus that we can enter. But how deep do you want to go in your study, understanding, and revelation of Jesus? As we said before, even if you have been in church many years, there was always a deeper water to enter with the Lord. Do you still want more of Jesus in your life? A greater knowledge and revelation of him? Have you really committed your life to him? These are all questions that have to be answered, evaluations that have to be made in our lives. We get evaluated in the workforce by our supervisors. How much more an evaluation before God? How much of his son have we accepted in our lives? A deception a person may have is that he thinks he knows the Lord so well, but in reality, there is so much more of him to know and to receive. We need to ask ourselves, how deep do we want to go with the Lord? What will we do with Jesus this morning? Will you seriously and sincerely seek more of him into your lives? Psalm 63, verse 1 states by King David, earnestly I seek you. See, this whole idea of seeking Jesus, you're not playing around. It's not a nice idea. It's something we have to do. David said, earnestly I seek you. Our salvation is something in no way to be taken lightly. David said, earnestly I seek you. Do we seek Jesus earnestly, or do those distractions stop us from earnestly seeking him? Do we have a genuine hunger and thirst for the Lord? If not, you ask the Lord, and he will give you the genuine hunger and thirst. As we said, our salvation is very important. It's freely given to us. But Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That includes how much of Jesus do we want in our lives? Are we earnestly seeking him? Will we earnestly seek him in the year 2022? What will you do with Jesus? So I'm going to stop there, and someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message.